Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden, and this is The Leader.
Money, 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 money.
The Bank of England has heaped more misery on Londoners with mortgages and credit card debt today as it pushed the interest rate to its highest level since 2008 when Gordon Brown was Prime Minister and Girls Aloud topped the charts. The base rate is up to 4% now, an increase of 0.5% in the 10th successive hike as the bank tries desperately to curb soaring inflation. But it comes as oil giant Shell reported mega profits of over £32 billion, leading to renewed calls for a greater windfall tax. Here's Labour's Shadow Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Lisa Nandy, on BBC Breakfast.
We should close the investment allowance loophole that allows them to get tax breaks for investing in fossil fuels. We should backdate the windfall tax to when the government ought to have done it, not when they actually did it. And by doing so, we could get real help to families who are struggling now.
2.3 million UK households say they missed essential payments like mortgages, rent and credit cards in January, up 400,000 on December. So why do interest rates keep rising? What's the financial outlook for 2023? And how will Thursday's hike impact your bank balance if you're a saver? Let's ask Dr. Joe Michel, Associate Professor of Economics at UWE Bristol, about the latest bank move.
Today, the bank increased the interest rate they set from 3.5% to 4%, so 0.5 percentage point increase. That is significant in the UK most directly because it will feed through into mortgage rates. Now, many people will be on fixed rates, but over the next year, maybe half of people who will come off their current fixed rate and have to find a new deal or move to a variable rate. And some of those people will have fixed maybe when the interest rates were down close to zero, 0.5 or 1%. So they could be seeing quite big increases in the rate and therefore in their monthly mortgage payments.
And how about other outgoings like rent and credit cards?
Yeah, so what we'll expect to see with these rising rates is that households will be increasingly struggling to make ends meet. In some cases, you know, cash outgoings are going to increase. And that'll be expected to feed through into other decisions to reduce their spending on food, on travel, on a range of other things. And that is kind of intentional. I mean, it's what the Bank of England wants to do. It wants to squeeze spending in the economy as a way to try and bring down inflation. But it's a very, very crude tool, bringing down domestic spending in the UK in response to what is really a global shock.
But is it good news for savers?
Relatively good news for savers. Savers have, for the last 10 years, been dealing with near enough zero interest rates on sort of standard bank savings accounts. The thing is, the majority of relatively well-off people have their money in stocks and shares, in sort of long-run investment vehicles, and those have actually done quite well. So it's a relatively small number of people who rely really on bank savings accounts for, you know, cash savings. So the number of people who will do well out of this is pretty small. And in terms of the macroeconomic effects, the negative effect on spending from mortgage increases will hugely outweigh any kind of additional income on the other side of the coin.
Could you give us some context about how we've got the biggest rise since 2008?
I think that the important context here is that it's one more step in quite a long sequence of macro policy. You could take it back to 2008 or even earlier, being uncoordinated, sort of being out of step, and then one institution making a move and other institutions having to sort of react. Their actions really overlap. and sort of look beyond their remits. From 2008, we had very tight monetary policy. The bank had to react with very loose monetary policy. That gave us quantitative easing. And now after the pandemic, with the shock of rising prices and so on, it actually makes the bank's job a lot more difficult. And we're using, I would argue, the wrong tool to respond to inflation. And in doing so, we are making more problems for financing the government debt.
So what are the right tools?
Well, the first thing is to note is that this is coming from outside the UK. It's a shock from food prices, from energy prices. It's to do with the reopening of the pandemic and the war, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And there's only so much that we can do to affect global energy and food prices. So really the right thing to do is to say all expectations are is that this is now peaked. So the gas prices are right back down again. Food prices are starting to come down globally, wholesale grain prices. All expectations are is that this is a short run, very severe, but short run increase in the price level. So there's very little that the bank can actually do. There's very little that domestic policymakers can do to stop those prices rising. What they should be doing is using fiscal tools, and they have used them. For example, the gas, the energy price cap as a fiscal tool to share the pain out, accept that the global price has gone up. As a country, we have to accept that, and we have to figure out how to sort of insure ourselves internally, you know, use a sort of insurance mechanism whereby those who can afford it cover the costs for those who can't.
Let's go to the ads. Coming up, the financial year ahead, and just why can't the two money men in numbers 10 and 11 Downing Street get a grip on the economy? Why not hit rate and follow in the meantime?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Welcome back. Joe, how's the year ahead looking?
The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, released a forecast in the last few days and had the UK as the worst performing economy on its entire list, worse even than Russia. We were the only economy forecast to grow, well, to contract at over 1%, a recession, over 1% contraction. The bank today has released some forecasts which are not as gloomy. They show a mild recession throughout 2023. I think we are in a period of very weak economic activity, but this is a long-run problem of underinvestment, of misguided and miscoordinated macroeconomic policy. So I think the answer really comes down to, will we have more of the same in terms of policy? And as it stands, the answer seems to be yes. The Chancellor does seem to be going for a sort of Osborne-light austerity package. There's no sort of long-term thinking. It's all short-run reaction. You know, they're reacting to the Truss Kwarteng disaster that itself came from the sort of Johnson meltdown. So if we were to see a switch, I think, to long-term strategic thinking, policy coordination, investment packages, an industrial strategy, and so on, then I do think we could see things turning around reasonably quickly. But at the moment, the policy isn't moving in that direction. So the outlook is gloomy.
We've got two people with considerable business backgrounds in numbers 10 and 11 Downing Street. Why can't they do the business for Britain's economy?
Yeah, and I think really what this illustrates is that private finance and public administration are two very different things. And sometimes they are actually almost in conflict with each other. I think over the last 30 years or so, private finance has done very well. And a fairly small number of people have got very rich. But that has come at the expense of broader economic prosperity, dynamism, growth, and so on. I'll give you one example. Businesses used to spend a large amount of their profits and even borrow extra for investment, for research and development, for new productive capacity. Large amounts of profits these days now are just taken out as dividends, and much of it ends up offshore in tax havens and so on.
What's the outlook for food inflation?
Yeah, so it's extremely noticeable. I mean, every time I go to the supermarket now, I'm astonished. My eye runs along the shelves and I see the numbers. It certainly was initially triggered by the Ukraine shock. I think we've got relatively inflexible supply lines, and so that probably the UK is more exposed in many ways. And part of that is Brexit. We have imposed on ourselves an extra, very severe shock to supply lines of many things, and cheese, milk, dairy, meats, and so on. A lot of that was coming through Europe. And so I think probably Brexit is one of the reasons why our food price reaction has been stronger than elsewhere. It will start to ease off, but it's very important to say that when inflation comes down, that doesn't mean the prices go back to where they were. It means they just stop going up.
Finally, Joe, Shell profits, why are they so high? And what's your view on the renewed calls for a windfall tax?
It's because of the high global energy prices. Those corporations haven't done any extra. They haven't done extra investment, extra research and development. They basically supply the amount of oil and gas they pull out of the ground. And if the price of those things goes through the roof, as it has done, then their revenues go up. Their costs don't change. They make a huge profit. That ultimately comes out of the pockets of households, because people see their gas bills rise. Now, in the UK, that is capped. So the pain is being shared by households and the UK government. So effectively, in many ways, it's a UK government subsidy through the energy price cap to those big corporates. It seems to me a very straightforward case for a windfall tax. Households aren't doing anything different. They're just heating their houses. The gas companies aren't doing anything different. They're just getting the gas out of the ground. But there's been a big transfer of wealth from one group to the other. I can't see any reason not to just reverse it. Windfall tax, take the money off the big energy companies, use part of it to cover the gas price cap, the public finances side, and find ways to subsidize households using that windfall tax.
There's more on this story in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. That's The Leader. We're back on Friday at 4 p.m.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.